Hear what you say. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Again, before we go forward, we want to invest in you on this in prayer. Time to pray. Next slide there today. Has been designated to ask to be a time of prayer. And President Trump has called this, and others have decided to act on it. We have 4:16, it says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I believe that we are in a time of need right now. We are in a great time of need. But you know, as people of God, I know many ask, you know, what do we do? How do we act? What's our next move? Well, I think our first move is to pray. And I know that those who are prayers have already been doing that. We've already been praying. We should continue to pray. We should not cease to pray. So just as we gather together today, I'm going to say well, two or three are gathered in my name, and he'd be in the midst. There's certainly more than two or three of us here today. And even when there are, gather together to pray and seek God's face. So we're going to do that. We're going to give these prayer prompts right where you are, right where you are, just to take a moment to pray. So we'll put our prayer prompts up. I think there are four of them or so. And you pray to God. You seek to God for the purposes that I put on the screen there. And then you know, I'll close out in prayer a few seconds after you. Then we'll go on to the next one. And then we'll have our message for today. Amen. 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 So the first one there says, let us pray. Let us pray for those who are sick and their families, for those who are living in fear and anxiousness. Amen. 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 We're going to pray. Let's just bow before God and take some moments to pray for those who are sick, and pray for their families, and pray for those who are living in fear and anxiousness. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we bow before you, Lord, and we want to pray for those who are sick, those who have contracted, Lord, this coronavirus, Lord God, we lift them up before your throne of grace and mercy. We pray for your healing, Lord. We pray for the peace of Christ for them and for their families, Lord. And want to pray, Lord, for those who might be living in fear, might be anxious, oh God. Lord, you are reminded of the words that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but a love of power and a sound mind. I pray that you would help us to act out of your love, act out of your power, act and think out of the sound mind that you've given us. Help us not to be anxious and fearful. Oh God, help us to come to grips with our fears, our anxiety, and bring them before the throne of grace, Lord, that you may enable us to stand firm and be courageous in the midst of what we face today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We want to next let us pray for the professionals who are providing medical care, the medical care for those who those working on treatments and a vaccine for the COVID-19. So let's bow and pray for this. Father, I will remind you that your whole birthday is one of the things that you've given us to. Knowing that you're the God who heals us. Oh God, we pray for those professionals and healthcare workers who are working feverishly and diligently. Lord God, we pray that they would have wisdom, that they would have understanding. Lord, we pray that you would give knowledge, for knowledge and wisdom comes from you. God, we ask that you would extend that to them. We pray, oh God, that they would know what to do and how to treat people. As the number of cases increase, Lord God, we pray that you would give them greater wisdom, greater understanding. Increase their patience, Lord. Give them the strength, the energy, the physical stamina that they need, Lord God, to do what is necessary to come alongside these people. Lord, we know it's not too hard for you. We don't take it for granted, Lord. We know that men and women in and of themselves do not have the capacity to come up with solutions to the problems of this world. And so we look to you, God of all wisdom, God of all understanding. Lord, we know that you only need to say the word and it's done. Oh God, and we may wonder why you aren't doing that right now, but Lord, we yet trust you and pray that you would indeed open the minds of people that they will come up with a vaccine for COVID-19. Lord, nothing, oh God, is too difficult for you. And so we seek you. And let us pray for our leaders to act with wisdom and courage as they make vital decisions that impact each of our lives. Let us pray. Dear Father, I'm reminded that you created government, Lord God, government in place, Lord, and we ask that your purposes be brought about, Lord, as President Trump and Vice President Pence and all those that are a part of their team, Lord, in Washington and across this nation. Pray for them. Pray that, Lord, they would too have understanding and wisdom in what to do and what is best in bringing people together, trying to bring solutions together, working with leaders from other nations as well. Dear God, we would pray for them. It's our duty to pray for the leaders of our land, regardless of their political persuasion or our political. Lord, regardless of what we think about the decisions they are making, Lord, we pray for them. God, we bring them before your throne of grace, Lord, that they would know, Lord, first and foremost, Lord God, that we need you, oh God, and that we need to cry out to you. And so we cry out to you in their behalf. Ask that you would give them what they need. Ask that you would protect them. You would die. I ask that you would send people their way, Lord, that would be able to give them godly counsel, godly understanding. Lord God, we pray that you would do these things and that we would understand, oh Lord, that it all points to you, that you are working out your plan, regardless of how things might look to us, regardless of how bleak the situation may be. Our minds. Oh God, you are yet on the throne. And we thank you. Help us to continue to pray in our homes, in our places of work. Lord God, as we drive along the way, as we see what's going on around us, help us to be the people of prayer, seeking your face, seeking that your kingdom come and your will be done. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. 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 Amen, church. Let us continue to pray and to see God's face. God works on us in prayer. He does not always answer prayer according to what we want done. He brings about his will. God is on the throne, and we are not. And we need to rest in that fact today. I'd like you to turn with me to Mark chapter 4. Take a detour here. Mark chapter 4, if you will. We'll revisit Mark chapter 4, a familiar passage of Scripture. Mark 4, Mark 4, verse 35. Mark 4, 35. On that day, when the evening came, he said to them, and he is Jesus, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. Jesus himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Hush, be still." And the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, "Why you still have no faith. They became very much afraid and said to one another, who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Amen. Amen. Where is your faith? Is the title of this message today. Where is your faith? And my title is taken from the parallel version of this account that's given in the Gospel according to Luke, where at the end Jesus asked, where is your faith? Here at the end, he asked, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? I think in the midst of the time in which we live, and what I'm hearing from our Lord and from his word, is that he wants us to have developed within us an unshakable faith in Jesus Christ. An unshakable faith in Jesus Christ, no matter how turbulent the storms might be in our lives, and no matter how unclear the future might be, his desire is that we have an unshakable faith, that the storms of life, the problems that we encounter, the situations that we face, do not throw us for a loop, cause us to go into a state of despair, cause us to fear to the point of panic. That's not what God wants right now. Because faith in Jesus, it's our proposition today, is this: faith in Jesus gets us through the storms of life. Having true faith in Jesus gets us through the storms of life. And I'll say on the front end, it doesn't mean we won't have storms. Our story tells us today, but he gets us through those storms. We want to live by faith. The Bible says that the just or the righteous will live by faith. One night, a house caught fire, and a young boy, the story is told, a young boy was forced to flee to the roof. The father stood on the ground below with outstretched arms, calling to his son, jump, jump, I'll catch you. He knew the boy had to jump to save his life. All the boy could see, however, was flame, smoke, and blackness. Couldn't see his father. As can be imagined, he was afraid to leave the roof. And his father kept yelling, jump. I'll catch you. Jump. I will catch you. But the boy protested, Daddy, I can't see you. I cannot see you. The father replied, but I can see you. I can see you, my son. And that's all that matters. It's all that matters is that God can see us, even if we can't see. I'm afraid that in the midst of the present worldwide crises and other problems that we are facing, it is difficult for many of us to see God. The intensity of the problem has clouded our vision of God. I wonder if we've lost sight of the God who is still on the throne and in control of all things. See, we need to know, like that boy needed to know and be assured of, we need to know that God can see us and wants us to understand that he is here. He is with those who have faith in Christ, even though we don't see him. I wonder today, is your life on fire? Is your heart on fire? is your mind frustrated, confused, discombobulated, fearful, doubtful? Are the problems that we're facing, the frustrations you're experiencing, do they have us in a state of fear? Are you there? Well, we need to understand this, that God wants us to have faith in Him, even in the midst of what's going on. See, to have faith in God means that we are fully persuaded about Him. About Him. That we know that He is God. We know that He exists. And we are fully persuaded about His promises to us. On the basis of His word, it's what we constantly go back to. On the basis of His word, the written word, and the living word, the resurrected Jesus Christ. In our text, Jesus had, well, this week, next week, Lord willing, in our text, Jesus had a specific purpose in calling His disciples to go on this journey with Him. He wanted to develop their confidence in His ability to see them through any situation. And He wanted to deepen their knowledge of who He is and what He's able to do. Since they were going to be the first string of men who would continue His mission on earth, He had to deepen their faith in Him. He didn't want to leave them at a surface level relationship. So He had to allow them to go through something. He had to strengthen their walk with Him. He had to help them to see who He was in the midst of the storm and learn to fix their eyes on Him in the midst of the problem. And learn to rest in Him in the midst of what they were going through. See who He was and what He was capable of accomplishing in them and through them. What specifically should be the focus of our faith? We talk about having faith in Jesus, but what specifically should be the focus of our faith? What is it about Him that we have faith in, or we have faith about? Well, today, this overarching point, that Jesus wants us to have faith in this, have confidence in this, that Jesus is indeed present with us. And I know you know this, so I'm like Peter, I'm reminding you. Jesus is present with us in the storms, in the problems, in the situations in life that we can't control. We need to remember that Jesus is present with us in the storms of life from the beginning, in the middle, to the end. He's present with us. In our text, Jesus said to His disciples, you'll note there, He said, let us go over to the other side. Let us go over to the other side. He had some work to do on the other side. He had been working with the crowds there. And Jesus said, you know, it's time for us to go. Let us go to the other side. The disciples set out to go to the other side because Jesus took them with Him. Jesus planned the trip for them to accompany Him to the other side. He did not send them out into the unknown alone. This wasn't their idea. It wasn't something they dreamed of. They didn't say, hey, Jesus, it's time for us to go to the other side. No, Jesus told them, hey, let us go to the other side. I'm taking you with me. He said this, and the text tells us in 36, He left the crowd and He took them along, they took them along with him. They took him along with them in the boat, just as he was, and the other boat was with him. Jesus took his disciples along with him. He didn't take the crowd, he didn't take everybody. He took his disciples along with him into what we know to be the storm. And I just want to make note here quickly that he took his disciples, and not everybody. He took his disciples. A disciple of Jesus, of course, is one who knows that he has been called to a life of following Jesus and knowing Jesus, no matter where he tells us to go, no matter the situations that he sends us into. He knows that I'm a disciple. She has made a decision to sit under the teaching of Jesus, because a disciple is a learner. She has made a decision to sit under the teaching of Jesus, of the Master, and make his teaching, his rule, his call, wherever he sends her, the conduct of her life. See, disciples of Jesus have entered into a personal, life-changing relationship with him. They submit themselves to knowing Jesus and to be taught by Jesus through his word, and also, as we learn here, the adventures of life that he takes us through. See, Jesus wanted for his disciples then, and he wants for us today, to know the love of God and to love God in return in the totality of life. He wanted to get them there. And to get them there, Jesus uses this storm to teach his disciples truths about himself and truths about them and how they should conduct their lives because of who he is and their relationship with him. See, the experiences of the disciple that the disciples went through taught them more about Jesus. And that's what we need to understand too, is that we don't just learn about Jesus from the Word of God, but from the Word of God and those experiences that he sends us through. The experiences the disciples went through taught them more about Jesus, for what they saw in him revealed who he is, what he was capable of doing, and how he related to them as Lord, as God, and as teacher, and as friend. Because he wanted them to know that, Jesus said to them, "Let's go to the other side, my friends." And I think Jesus says that to all of his disciples in some way or another. Come, let us go to the other side. Whatever that other side might be. He says, "I have some places I'm taking you. I have some adventures laid out for you so that you can know me better. I have some things I want to develop in your heart. I have some transforming I want to do in your mind. I have some healing that I need to do in your soul. Not just to fix the physical pain, things we go through." He says, "Come, go with me, and I'll get you there." I think Jesus says, "I want you to know who I am, and that I'm able to meet your every need along the journey. And I'm able to get you to the other side." I think he's simply saying that, because when he said to his disciples, "Come, let us go to the other side," I think there's promise inherent in that statement. He didn't send them by themselves. He went along with them. And we'll talk about it more. He said, "We are going to get to the other side." And that's our key point. That's what Jesus wants us to see, that that they were going to get to the other side. Jesus will get us to the other side. He will get us to the other side. That's his promise. He'll take us where he wants us to be. Disciples go where Jesus tells us to go. He gets us, if we trust in him, where he wants us to be. We may not know the destination, but he does. We may not know all that's going to take place in between, do we? We don't know. We don't know. We like to know. We like to be in control. We like to have it all figured out. We like to tell the government to tell us they have a fix. But the reality is that we don't know. We are not in control. We may not know all that he is doing. Never will, and we never do. But he does. And our faith has to be on him. We may think that none of what's going on in our world makes sense right now. Does it make sense? Doesn't make sense. It's come so rapidly, so quickly. But guess who it makes sense to? It surely makes sense to our God. It makes sense to him. Don't think that he's out of control. And we'll look at that next week. God is never, never out of control. He knows. It certainly makes sense to him. See, our experiences in life are divine learning activities. Those divine learning activities are designed by the master teacher. And they're designed to deepen our knowledge of and our love for Jesus. And for us to have rooted in us the firm conviction that he loves me and he's going to take care of me no matter what's going on in the world. Not that he is going to fix my problem. That's not first. Maybe he will. But is it not true that maybe he won't? Maybe he won't protect all of us in here from getting this virus. Is that not a reality? That's a reality. But he still loves us.
Amen.
He still cares about us. And I think some people, their theology, they're thinking about God is that, well, God loves me, and if I'm really his disciple, and if I do all this, then that means God is going to protect me from all of this. That's poor theology. It's erroneous thinking. It's not true. It's just not true. God, our Lord Jesus Christ, sends us through his divine learning activities that he creates just for you and just for me. It has your name on it. It has my name on it. And his purpose is for us to know him. Know how much he loves us and to love him in return. They can help us if we allow them to see more clearly who he is and what he can do and how much he loves us, but that depends on us. That depends on our response in the midst of what he sends us into. Now I ask this question. Could it be that Jesus has said to his disciples today, in the midst of the so-called COVID-19 pandemic, could it be that Jesus has said to us, come Let us go to the other side. There are some things I want to teach you. There is a depth of love that I want to show you. Is it possible that he's saying that? There's a depth of love that I want to show you. There is some power that I want to demonstrate to you and through you. There are some things that I need to make happen. There are some changes that I need to make in you. Is it possible that our Lord is saying that in the midst of COVID-19? And not just that, other stuff. We are focused on that thing so much that we forget this other stuff taking place in the world. The other issues that we face, they ain't going away the last time. What is God saying to us? You know, the unnerving part of the adventures that Jesus takes us on, because he took his disciples, he said, let's go to the other side. Do you think Jesus knew that storm was going to arise? Oh yeah, I think he did. He definitely did. He said, in his mind, he said, let me take these guys on this adventure. Teachable moment. Jesus was always looking for teachable moments. But the unnerving part of the adventure that Jesus takes us on is that we don't know what's going to be in between, and we don't know where we're going to end up. That's unnerving to us. Why is that? Because we desperately want to know that everything is going to work out just as we planned. We want to know that along the journey, everything is going to be A-okay. We want to know it's going to end up as we have formulated it in our minds and in our hearts. We want to know that those we know and love are going to be safe. And everyone is going to get through this. And everyone is going to make it to the other side. We want to know that. We desperately want that. But truly, we don't know. We just don't know. We just don't know. Living by faith in Jesus means we trust him. Our eyes are on him. Our confidence is in him. And we believe that whatever happens, whatever he allows or brings into our lives, whatever comes in the in-between into our lives, it is for our good and his glory. That's where he wants us to get to. To take our hands off. Let his loving hand take us into these adventures. Take us through them. We live by faith. He wants us to live by faith with the confidence that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And he says, let us go to. See, our lesson, the lesson we can walk away with is remember this, and if I'm being redundant, repetition is a good teacher. Remember, in everything, no matter what it is, COVID-19, everything else, in everything that God has planned. Who planned this adventure for the disciples? It was Jesus. Who told them, let's go to the other side? It was Jesus. Who set them out on the journey? It was Jesus. See, the sovereignty of God means that nothing happens in your world and in my world without God allowing it to give you approval. And everything that God has planned for our lives, Jesus is present with us. Let us go to the other side. God has planned, ordained, or allowed everything that happens in our lives. Everything. You mean God has planned this? God has allowed this? Oh, yes, he has. God wouldn't do that. Yes, he would. Yes, he would. To say that he wouldn't, to say that this happened without God knowing about it, is to say you don't know and understand the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I remember, I was reminded, I was thinking through this, Job went through some difficult days, didn't he? Read the book of Job. If you read the backdrop, the backstory of Job, you can see that before it came on Job, what happened? What's the story? Before it came on Job, the devil goes up to God and basically says, God, Job is only serving you because you got a hedge of protection around him. That's why he's serving you. Let me have him. And God said, all right, go ahead. The only reason Satan was able to do anything to Job, take all of his possessions, all his children, all of that. You mean God allowed that? Yes, he did. Tragic. Who understands that? Only God. God allowed it. And what Job had to come to the conclusion of was that God is with me. God is God. God is in control. And I am not. God allowed this to happen. Naked I came into the world, and naked I'm going to leave. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's the conclusion that Job had to come to. He had to see God as God, and that God was with him. Through his entire life-changing experience. Don't you know that was a life-changing experience for Job? Indeed. Maybe what's happening might be a life-changing experience for some of us. Or for our nation. For our world. Don't you think God is up to something trying to get folks' attention? And say that I am God. You can't control this thing. Not until I'm ready. Not until my purposes are brought forth. Not until I say it's time. Are you going to trust me? Are you going to go through this with me? Understand that I'm going through. In everything that God has planned for our lives, we need to remember Jesus is with us. Dare we not forget this critical biblical principle as disciples of Jesus. Everything that we go through, Jesus is present with us before, during, everything in between and after. Jesus is present with us. Don't forget that. You forget that, and you are going to go into a spiritual tailspin. Has to happen because you've taken your eyes off of true north. You lose your bearings, and you begin to go into a free fall. See, you may be experiencing some fear, child of God. We probably need to be honest, right? Amen. Fear is our natural inclination, we become fearful. You may be experiencing or on the edge of experiencing fear. What do you need to do? You need to remember that Jesus is with you. He is with you. You may wonder if COVID-19 is going to knock on your door. Remember that Jesus is with you. Remember that nothing can separate us from Jesus if we are in Him, and nothing can separate us from His love. This is the confidence that Paul had, and it is the confidence that Father God wants us to have in Jesus. Paul wrote in Romans 8:38, "For I am convinced." He said, "I have the faith, I have the utmost confidence that neither death nor life." Did you hear that? Death nor life. Isn't that before us with COVID-19? Let's be real. Death or life. Paul said, "I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Are you convinced of that today? Let me ask you, are you resting in the love of God today? Or are we so focused on the problem that's before us and the problems that are in our lives that we've taken our eyes off of true north? And we don't even think about the fact that Jesus is with us. Don't think about it. I wonder if we adults, when a child becomes separated from a parent, he can become fearful, right? Child runs off, doesn't see the parent, becomes fearful, anxious, they can panic. And when you panic, you just have that overwhelming fear. It may be, in our minds, a legitimate cause. It may be an illegitimate reason. People can become hysterical. Irrational behavior sets in. It's happening. I was watching, my wife showed me a YouTube video. These women were, I don't know, Walmart, one of these stores, they were duking it out over some sanitizer. I've seen quite a bit of irrational behavior. I've seen quite a bit of irrational behavior on the part of children that has seemed to be caused by the separation from their parents. Not physical separation necessarily, but emotional and mental separation. The closeness is not there. No, the connection is not there. They don't have a sense that the parent is, you know, they're there with them and for them. The bonding has not been complete. They throw temper tantrums. They're constantly angry. They hide behind certain attitudes and behavior. They go into hysterical fits. I've wondered if we adults, God's kids, become panicky, fearful, and we go into this state of panic because we don't have the confidence that God is with us. Maybe this is the case because we have not truly bonded with God. We have not taken Him at His word, fixed our eyes on the death and resurrection of our Lord, and His promise that Hey, I didn't spare my own son. I gave him up for you. Don't you know I'll give you everything else that you need? He said, we haven't heard him talk with us, speak peace to us, because we don't go to him in faith, get into his word, and commune with him in prayer. We fear, we panic emotionally. We think the worst. Don't we do that sometimes? Man, you know, you see something out there and a problem comes and, man, the mind can just run to the worst case scenario. We create all this stuff and all this stuff is created and people just go stir crazy. We see the worst and sometimes we act the worst because the eyes of our heart are on what's happening around us. Instead of on him who is above the circumstances and is with us and is in us. Well, what's our lesson as we wind it up? Well, it's this. We shouldn't panic. We'll look at that next time. We shouldn't panic. And really, Bible tells us we shouldn't be fearful. We shouldn't stay in that state of fearfulness. I often think about that and the things that God has given me to do and things he wants me to say and people that you've got to encounter. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of a sound mind. We shouldn't panic. Why not? Because Jesus is with us in the boat. Jesus is with us in the storm of life. Jesus is with us as we face this so-called pandemic situation. Please don't forget that Jesus is with us and he loves us. God is with us as he sets us out on this adventure. As bad as it might be, as critical as it can become, the Lord our God has allowed him to come upon us. What, therefore, should be our mindset? How should we think? How should we face this crisis? What should we do as children of God? Right now, I'll say this as I finish up. We should take the necessary precautions like they're telling us to. We should do that. I'm not saying I'm not foolish, I'm stupid. I don't want you coming up on me coughing and sneezing and all that other stuff. I'm not going to do that to you. We're going to be wise and do that. But that doesn't mean that I am going to extricate myself from life. I am not going to become so socially distant from people that I totally disconnect. I don't hear them saying that. Yeah, if you're sick and whatnot, and you have stuff going on, stay home. Nobody's going to think less of you. I'm not. Not unless I talk to you and I hear it coming out. Then I'll talk to you about that. But nobody's going to put you down. And you say, well, I think I need to stay here. No. We need to take those. But we also need to live, think, and relate as children of God. I was reminded of Deuteronomy 31 and 6. Moses was passing the baton on to Joshua. He said, be strong and courageous. You know, in light of you about what you're about to face, the situation that you're about to go into with these peoples, he said, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. Don't be afraid. Don't be terrified. Don't let your heart be anxious. Don't panic. Don't panic. Why? See, we got to have a reason why. Why shouldn't I panic? Why shouldn't I go into a state of frenzy? Why shouldn't I be hysterical? Well, here it is. For the Lord your God goes with you. The Lord your God. God goes with you. He will never leave you, nor he will never forsake you. Won't you bow with me in prayer? And wherever you are in your journey, as we leave this place and face what we have to face, just take your mind, your heart, your emotions, your attitudes, take them to the throne of grace. Let's be honest with God. And let's ask God to work in us, even the life of Christ. He hasn't given us a